Wow, Brian, riding a storm out. Gotta love it. That'll get you going on a Saturday morning. That brings back memories from high school, brother. That's how old I am. But anyway, this is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We've been having a little bit of fun today. We're kind of dancing around a little bit with Mother's Day, and then we did a little grill safety. And you know what? Anytime the wine guy comes to the radio show with a bag of wine, he ends up staying during the whole show, right? That's kind of our mantra. So,
well, kudos to the wine ambassador from Barefoot, Scott Farney, because he like figured us out. He's probably listened to the show before, and he knows we're just like easily bought.
Yeah,
but the dude came loaded for bear.
Yeah,
and
true ambassador.
The day before Mother's Day, it's okay if Dad has a little wine.
Yeah, and that's what this is about, guys. Because
Mother's Day is about Dad.
No, but listen. Scott was talking about this. Is that on the break that Barbecue Bob and I are big craft brew beer guys. And those are big, strong
I think
flavors.
Emphasis on the big.
Yeah. And we're drinking Moscatos, we're drinking, you know, all kinds of Riesling, Sangria. These aren't typically guy wines, but I'm going to tell you that, guys, you'll love this stuff. And it isn't going to hurt to give it a try at 2 for $10 or 2 for $11.
I'm trying some Chardonnay right now.
Right, exactly. And that's what I wanted to, that's kind of what I wanted to emphasize was the something for everyone style here. And the fact that all of these great flavors that are in these sweet wines marry beautifully with grilled foods.
Right.
So when you're grilling with a spicy barbecue or some cayenne pepper or a lot of heavy garlic, you know, these sweeter wines are going to pair really well with those. And it's fun, as I said during the break, to look, we just poured the Chardonnay. We're gonna try a little bit drier style now. But we tried three sweet wines, and you know you loved them all.
Yeah, right. The sangria was crazy. So I'm thinking the Chardonnay might go pretty good with this. I'm gonna take credit for this recipe because I actually because I concocted it. No, what I do when I make up recipes is I do go online and I research. And I look at how people are doing things, and I get kind of a feel for maybe three or four different people that I like to follow. And what I noticed about the caramelized onion and pear pork chops was they were all exactly the same, and they were all doing the same thing. So I applied the things I like to do differently than most people do, which is rely heavily on Old World Olive Company to give me great products. And I took some of these ingredients and I switched them into, instead of using butter, I used butter EVO. Instead of using just Rachel Ray's balsamic reduction, I took an 18-year Old World Olive Company balsamic and I reduced it. And I just played with the numbers and the portions and the things. So basically, and then I also took my favorite trick, which is to get a pork loin and cut it into inch and a half inch chops,
mm-hmm.
and then take my Jacquard to them and pound the ever-loving crap out of them and make them into this something that looks like roadkill. It doesn't even look like a chop when you're done with it, and use that and then marinate that piece in this thing that I'm going to marinate.
Barbecue Bob, let me take the 5-second rabbit trail here. A Jacquard, little bed of nails. It's a tenderizing piece of equipment in the kitchen. It drives like 40, 50 nails into the piece of meat, and it's spring-loaded. You use it 4 or 5 times, and it tenderizes the meat. You tend to hit it a little bit more, and it almost even flattens out your meat too, right?
It's a Greek torture tool.
Okay.
That was developed by the Romans.
Yeah, yeah. You're exactly right. It looks like it's a stamping device that brings 45 needles down, prongs, and it tenderizes your meat. Actually, if you take a steak and you give it to your butcher, he'll run it through a machine, and he'll call it a tenderizer. It'll have wheels with needles on it, and it'll run it right through it, and it'll just shred
Swiss
it.
Steak.
Yeah.
That we all grew up with.
There you go.
Yeah.
Zachary.
But anyway, okay.
Zachary.
Back to the recipe.
So that's exactly right. So instead of doing pork chops with the bone in, because everybody loves to say, well, you know, the bone makes the meat sweeter, it already did its work. On the grill, the bone is a problem, and here's why. Because when the butcher runs that loin with the rack through the bandsaw, which is what it is, he has to cut the bone. The meat's easy. He doesn't need a bandsaw for the meat. He needs a bandsaw for the bone. So now you've got this inch and a half, whatever you're asking him to do for a chop, you've got this cut. And then when you throw it on the grill, The bone is going to be an inch and a half, inch and a quarter, whatever, but that meat is going to kind of taper off and want to thin out a little bit. So if you're looking left to right, if your bone of that chop is on the left and the fatty portion's on the right, by the time you get out to the right, that chop is only about 3/4 inch thick by the time you're done grilling it, whereas that bone is still an inch and a quarter, inch and a half. It does not shrink. And the bone is holding cold. It's pork. You're not going to bring it to warm room temperature. So consequently, what happens is up by that bone, you're not cooking that pork chop to most people, especially Mother's Day, mom's doneness and satisfaction. So I'm saying get rid of the bone. Buy the loin. It already did its work.
It's a long ways around the barn to get rid of the bone, but I get it, man.
It is. Well, I'm trying to paint a picture that says you don't need to have a bone on a pork chop.
Right.
You can get loin on sale for $1.69 a pound, cut it into an inch and a half chop, pound it, take this recipe. It'll be on thegrillingguys.com, but it's basically going to look for some sea salt and some sugar, garlic, rosemary for a brine. And then we're going to reduce some onions and pears in a balsamic EVO concoction that's going to make a beautiful topping for that pork chop. After you've marinated it, then you're going to grill that thing, and you're going to put this pear caramelized onion topping on top of that pork chop, and you've made all this up in advance.
When are you putting the topping on? Almost when it's finished, done grilling,
right?
When
you serve it.
Right.
You're going to warm up this topping, and you're going to dollop it on.
Right. Right. And that pork chop's, what, 145 maybe? You've got it to an internal temperature.
Yep.
Use your digital thermometer. So, Scott, back to you, brother. You just heard that recipe. Tell us what kind of wine is going to go good with that dish.
So that is going to pair beautifully with our Riesling or our Chardonnay. And those wines are both completely different.
I'd go Chardonnay.
I would go Chardonnay.
This topping's sweet.
Yes.
I don't want a sweet wine with it.
Right. I the caramelized onions, the pears, those are all going to marry beautifully with our Barefoot Chardonnay, which has a lot of green apple and pear aromas and flavors in it.
Perfect.
So it's going to be a perfect pairing.
Yep. Awesome.
Perfect pairing. How about that, Joppy?
Who knew?
What could you do?
Right.
What's your recipe of the day?
Do you really want to bust one out? Is that where we're going with this?
Yeah. Huh? Well, what did you cook this week?
Yeah.
Well, cooked a hot dog.
I might just have one right here. You know.
How much time, Mr. Producer? 2 minutes. What you got, Crappie,
huh?
Joppy? Bring
it. That's your recipe. What's mine, huh?
Come on. We'll do a little breakdance here.
Basically, what I want to do is a little grilled asparagus. 'Tis the season.
Nice.
Right? It's this time of
year.
Have
some in the fridge right now.
We had some frost here on West Michigan. I don't know where you guys are listening, but we it nipped some of our early asparagus, but it's coming on strong.
You can't say nip on the radio.
Right. I did. I didn't say nips. I said nip. Grilled asparagus with a lemon dressing. And everybody can grill asparagus, right? You cut the shoots out. I like the ones that are about the size of your little finger to a pencil.
Yeah.
Around. They
smaller
get
the better.
Than that. They get
smaller
woody.
The better.
I'm just not fond of
Depending
those.
Depending on where you live, like the asparagus are going to start coming in right now.
That's exactly right. So just a little, you know, a couple pounds of asparagus on the grill. Cut them off. I like them maybe like 8-10 inches long because you get down to that stalk and it gets woody down there on the bottom. Don't like that.
You know what? Can I hold you off? I would tell you.
No, this is
sometimes, don't even cut it off. Just leave that crummy end on it. Then you got a handle, and you got something to throw off the deck.
After you've eaten the good end, right? With the blossom on it, yeah. But anyway, just a little old world olive press, olive oil, salt, pepper. But here's the difference on this one. Take 3 lemons, cut them in half, and after you've grilled that with the olive oil, salt, and pepper on it, put it on a tray, and then just squeeze that lemon juice right over the top of it.
Back to grease.
Brightens it right up.
Back to grease.
It just brightens it right up and gives it a little pow. So, with my asparagus, what wine am I serving with that, huh?
Well, most experts would tell you that asparagus is one of the hardest things to pair a wine with.
Right.
With that recipe, however, something like our Barefoot Sauvignon Blanc is going to be beautiful. We've got a lot of citrus. There's a bright acidity to it that's going to work really well with asparagus.
Bam. Sweet. There you go. You're Sweet. Listening to Grilling Guys. We got one more segment. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Every day of my life, I work till I ache my bones.